Grant, Lord, that as we praise and thank you for your continual provision of our needs, you may open our ears to hear and our hearts to respond to the cries of those whose hope is for a life beyond poverty. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. It's kind of you to invite me here again, and a privilege for me to join you in your service, representing Bishop Brian and the Diocese Poverty and Hope campaign. Thank you for your warm welcome. This year, our appeal has a special cause. We're joining our voices to the international call to take action for a world free of hunger. There is enough food in the world to feed everyone, yet 1 in 8 of the world's population go to bed hungry every night, and more than 2 million children die of malnutrition each year. We had a visit from Bishop Given from Kondoa in Tanzania last year. He joined us at one of our committee meetings. He lives in a town where poverty is widespread, and he sees its effects on the people on a daily basis. He inspired us with his message of hope, but also challenged us to respond in tackling the causes of poverty. Now, I'd just like to share with you this morning what he saw as the 4 core areas that need to be addressed if poverty is to be eradicated, and link them to the projects we're supporting this year, more details of which you can find in the little leaflet and on the Diocese website. First, education. Poverty and lack of literacy go hand in hand. The poor, the homeless, the refugees have difficulty accessing education. Not being able to read or write or count means much more than missing out on the latest blockbuster. It means that you can't get a decent job. It means that you're vulnerable to being cheated. It means that you can't easily claim things to which you have a right. We read in the Bible that wisdom or skill is something to be valued, cherished, and sought after. To deny people an education is to starve them of wisdom. They can't grow the skills they need. They can't learn a craft. They don't have the wisdom they need to find the way forward. Our project in Tanzania is in a place called Chemba, which is in Bishop Given's diocese. Here we're supporting the local vocational centre. It seeks to equip young people in that diocese to learn a trade and develop skills that will generate them an income. Most children finish their education after primary stage and so are unable to contribute financially to their family or village communities. But after completing practical courses at Chemba in things like carpentry, mechanics, plumbing, electrical work, agriculture or sewing, which lasts about 6 months or a year, students can return to their villages and use their newly acquired skills to generate an income and so contribute to the local economy. The funds we raise will go towards renovating the buildings to provide workshops and dormitories and to buy equipment and tools. Bishop Given said that the best thing we can do for our young people, many of them poor, some orphans, is to offer them skills for life. This project will help do that. The second core area is agriculture. Many people in the world simply have no water. Lack of water or being forced to drink unhealthy water is the biggest single cause of disease and death in the world today. Giving people water allows them to flourish. Crops can be grown, communities can be developed, families kept clean, and children who otherwise would spend all day finding water have a chance to get an education. Water can bring life to barren lives and can bring the desert into bloom. Teaching people how to dig wells, cultivate and plant the soil, and providing them with the tools and seeds to do it can change the fortunes of a village and lift it out of poverty. In the Dominican Republic, we're linked to Christian Aid's partner, Solidaridad. Their team is working in villages to help migrant workers and farmers cope with unpredictable weather, which leaves their habitat highly vulnerable. When it doesn't rain, there isn't any water. But when it does, the roads get blocked and you can't get out. Floods come onto the houses and supplies are washed away. Solidaridad promotes sustainable agriculture in districts close to the Haiti border in the northwest of the island. And in the 6 months to May this year, a staggering 840 people were trained in agricultural techniques and over 100 sustainable farms have been set up. This is another worthwhile project that has both an immediate and long-term payoff. The third cause of poverty is lack of health care. Leprosy was the most feared disease in the ancient world. Lepers were considered to be ritually unclean and were often prevented from entering Jerusalem for fear of tainting the holy city. Today, leprosy has been joined by HIV/AIDS. Like its ancient forebear, AIDS sufferers are often viewed as having brought it on themselves. But even if that is sometimes true, there are millions of men, women, and children who have simply been infected by others and as a result have become weak and are wasting away, unable to work or support themselves or their families. Illness increases poverty. Medicine's expensive. But when we're dealing with the poorest people on earth, how can we expect them to afford drugs? Should the cost of treatment be a barrier to the healing they need? Our healthcare project is in the remote areas of Myanmar, where there are no doctors. The Anglican Church there has set up many dispensaries, staffed by locally trained health workers. Malaria and cholera are two of their most serious health conditions. The Diocese of Sitwe is running preventative medicine education programs, as well as providing mobile clinics for treatment. Myanmar spends less per person on public health care than almost any other country. With donations from last year's Poverty and Hope Appeal, our partner We Are Us, formerly known as USPG, were able to help the church in Myanmar continue and expand the vital work of providing health care and health education to the poorest communities. They counted up the number of people treated in a year, and in 63 villages, the total came to nearly 4,000. But still, only a very limited number of villages have been reached. The last core area is the issue of the empowerment of women. There are a lot of rules that guide behaviour designed to keep people in their places, to keep women at the well. They are denied education and employment, status and respect. Some are little more than slaves. It was the same when Jesus was around, but he had no time for the rules. Throughout his ministry, he showed a special regard to women. He gave them a value and an attention that was radically different in the socially rigid hierarchies of the time. How much has changed today? We are shocked when we hear of incidents in our own country of women denied the opportunity to live their own lives and forced to submit to the wills of others. Yet we know that this is commonplace in many of the poorest nations. No chance given to them to learn better ways of caring for their families, of using better techniques to grow more food, of having their voices heard in speaking out against abuse. It's less easy to measure the success of empowerment programs than it is for education, agriculture, and health, where results are more obvious. However, in Cambodia, where our partner Life with Dignity works in villages giving training and support not only to improve farming techniques, but also in engaging with local government to ensure that services are provided and people's rights, especially women's, are upheld. Interestingly, one of the indicators of this work being successful is in the increased number of community conflicts as women challenge the status quo. Recognizing this, Life with Dignity both monitors such conflicts and gives support in their resolution. Last year, 420 community conflicts were peacefully resolved with their support. When women are able to play an equal role in village life, the well-being of the whole community increases. The three Bible passages we read today celebrate the overall and supreme kingship of God over all the world and the people in it. The promise we read in Jeremiah is that God will return as the righteous king, bringing justice to the world and, in his wisdom, doing right for his people. When that day comes, the refugees and those who have been displaced or scattered abroad from their homelands, the desolate whose land has been taken from them, the poor, the hungry, the persecuted and terrified, all be gathered in and have their needs met and be able to live in peace, safety and harmony. But that passage also gave a warning to those who have created the situation that has left so many people in poverty and without proper care. The warning was brief, but simple. They will be punished for their evil that they have done. Paul, when writing to the Colossians, emphasizes the supremacy of Christ, but it is only through his death on the cross that reconciliation for the world is possible and peace made. In the Gospel reading, Luke described that painful crucifixion death. Then at the last, Jesus as king promised to the repentant criminal mercy and a place in his kingdom. How can we relate our Poverty and Hope campaign to these passages of a supreme God who longs to save and bring people back to himself in a just and fair world? Where are we in the picture? Are we a part of the causes of injustice and poverty by the way we live? We certainly are the rich ones, with so much to be thankful for, having a disproportionate share of the earth's resources at our disposal. Yet how easy it is for us to forget God's command to take care of the widows and orphans and the poor. How will God see us? Are we allowing poverty to continue by our inaction? In which case, should we be heeding Jeremiah's warning? Will God be merciful to us if we forget our responsibilities to the poor and not do something about it? Many of you will be very familiar with the prayer book collect for today, the Sunday next before Advent. It's a rousing exhortation to Christian people to take action. You remember the words. Stir up, we beseech thee, merciful Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruits of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded. What will it take for our wills to be stirred up and for us to act and encourage others to act in the cause of justice to alleviate poverty? If we do feel so stirred, then I'd ask that we do five things. First, shout loudly. Make a noise and speak up for those who have no voice themselves. Secondly, live responsibly. The way we live has an impact on the planet and the poorest people on it. At its heart, the issue of poverty and justice is about the way we live. Give generously. Getting involved in poverty and justice is not only about money, but there's no doubt it helps. Think biblically. There are key verses throughout the Bible that explain what we should be doing to combat poverty and injustice. Let's learn them and make them a core part of our lives. And finally, pray continually. Prayer changes things and makes a difference. Pray for the projects we're supporting through Poverty and Hope, for the small teams that lead them, and for the people who'll be impacted by them. Through our Poverty and Hope campaign, we want to respond to the cries for help coming from the poorest communities as they patiently search for a better and more fulfilling life. Thank you very much for your support to Poverty and Hope again this year. So a prayer to conclude. Our Father, we pray that you'll stir up our hearts to action and prosper the work of the agencies that we support through Poverty and Hope. May your blessings be abundantly poured on those who live in the poorest countries. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.